Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Bruce.
And I'm your host, Pete.
And we are the Epic Experiment.
If you're new to the show, we talk about all things Magic the Gathering with a focus on primarily playing Commander.
Our show is available on thelotuscouncil.com, your favorite podcast apps, and a variety of social media platforms.
If you want to reach out to us, check the show notes below for our contact information.
Now, on with the show.
Let's get after it. Yeah, so a good friend of mine, Nick Douglas, he is actually on Spotify. We'll have his Spotify link down below in the show notes. He is a professional musician. He's been in rock bands. He's toured all over the world. And he was kind enough to give us a nice intro and outro music. So just thank you so much to Nick. We really appreciate you. And let's get on with the show, shall we?
Yeah, I think it sounds pretty kicking. I like the kick bass. That sounds pretty awesome. So some new tunes are always good. All right, so we're going to move on to some segment one. We have garbage or great. Are you ready, my friend?
I'm always ready. Let's do it.
All right, so we have... the first card I found is Spectral Deluge. And so I'll give a little story behind why I picked this card. So I found a store here in Canada that was selling a collector boosters box of Kaldheim for $130 off the retail price of the box. Whoa. So
how
I'm
much
like,
was it?
I paid $170 for it, which is pretty good,
pretty
price.
Good. Especially with all the juice that could be in there.
Yeah,
and
indeed.
Snowlands, so, too, you know?
Yeah, lots of cool stuff. So one of the cards I opened was a Spectral Deluge. So 4BBB for a sorcery. Return each creature your opponents control with toughness X or less to its owner's hand, where X is the number of islands you control. And you can foretell it for 1BBB. I mean, I think the card is pretty interesting. What do you think, Pete?
So, I think mono blue, this is a neat little board wipe for sure. It reminds me of Whelming Wave and sort of that sort of effect, right? Where it was like, there was that, and then there was a sea monster that used to do the same effect, right? Where it was like,
Scourge of
Fleets.
Yeah, Scourge of
Fleets. I believe. So I think this is like a nice sort of consistent wipe for most heavy blue decks. But if you're going two colors or three colors, depending on the colors, I think Simic, you could definitely use this card and it would be fine. If you're like a land deck that has a Dryad of the Eels and Grove or something, then it would be really gross. But I don't really think this is that good because I think it's kind of slow. But I think in the right deck, it could definitely slot in as a sort of a one-sided board wipe. I don't like that it bounces, just by toughness, because sometimes it might just be a non-bow in your hand, depending on how many islands you actually have in play. So that's my short little spiel.
Right, so I'm interested in this card because I like the foretell cost on it. So 1BBB makes it far more appealing to be able to fire this off and then double spell in a turn. You know, you foretell it on turn two, and then you can use it when you need a way to relieve the pressure that your opponents have put you under, or if you're looking to clear the way to get an attack. It's not going to be too onerous to find three mana to go and do that. Also, there's a lot of synergies with cards that are in exile now, so you can get a lot of value out of the card. And the fact that it only wipes your opponent's stuff out of the way, similar to a Cyclonic Rift, which is a card that we all know and despise for many of us. So if this is sort of like a poor man's version of a Cyclonic Rift for, you know, under $2, I kind of like it if it's only going to cost me, you know, three mana and I can cast it on a turn of my choosing. So, you know, instead of trying to pay full fare at six.
It definitely hoses, like, token decks, especially if you pay, like...
Oh, yes,
like,
for
X is two or less, because X is two or less is actually not terrible. Regarding, like, if you're playing this in multicolor decks.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when I'm looking at a board wipe, I'd rather just counter something outright that might be a problem. But then again, it depends on turn order and all of that stuff. That's, you know, I think this is a fine card to play.
Yeah. And then, so looking at it, from the standpoint of how many people on EDH Rec are in the midst of playing it, yeah. It figures it already in over 22,000 decks at this point, which that's I great. Think is that's a really high number for a card that really isn't that old and was only only printed in a single product, because it was in the one of the precons, if I'm not mistaken. It was in the Raynar, the Everwatchful deck.
Yes.
Which and so to have it only appear in a single product, to be in 22,000 decks, to me suggests that this card has got a lot of upside for budget players. So I think this is a card that probably people are sleeping on. It's not exciting. It's not, you know, a sexy pick, but I think it's going to get you a lot of good mileage and probably worth a chance to include it in your list, particularly if you're looking for an effect that is similar to a Cyclonic Rift, but you don't have the $35 to spring on Cyclonic Rift.
So a lot of the commanders on here are mono blue and some sort of combo type deck. The dream would be Leyline of the Guild Pact and playing this, and that would be kind of disgusting.
Yes, that'd be good.
I definitely want somebody to play this with multiple colors and not blue-white, because it seems a lot of like Brago lists have this card in it to mess with the opponent's board state, naturally. Vega the Watcher as well is
one of the
popular ones. You know, it's not surprising.
No.
So it would be cool to see what people might be able to do with it in like blue-green or even red-blue, because I think red-blue would be a sneaky good way to potentially slow them down so you can speed up if you're behind. So
yeah, I kind of like it. Kind of low-key, kind of like it. All right, what did you find for us tonight?
So this card is actually, I think, I've seen a lot on stream recently because people have been playing different formats. Like, you know, I think they had a remix draft that might have featured this card. Mm-hmm. I know it, I'm not sure if it's in any cubes, but I know that, like, for some preface, I've seen this played recently for some reason. So, anyway, Call of the Death Dweller, two colors and a black. It's a sorcery. It's return up to two target creature cards with total mana value 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. Put a Death Touch counter on either of them, then put a Menace counter on either of them. So, Bruce, what do you think?
I really like this card. I remember this card when it was in draft, and I felt it was really strong at the time. To do and could get you a lot of really good value. I also like the fact that it gets you two targets, and you can do a lot of really, really interesting things with that. Some of the things that I like are things like, you know, like the fact that it synergizes really well with like a Skullbriar, which seems like a funny card to play with it.
That's funny.
Totally on theme. Like a Baleful Strix would be another one. A Dockside Extortionist. Yeah.
Right.
There's lots of really good, valuable creatures that you can get back to fully exploit this to its full extent. And at 21 cents, I think it's a really nice budget inclusion that is going to get you probably some pretty good value if you're looking to like you're looking to get some pieces back out of your yard. So I really like it, and I think the applicability of the card increases as you're playing at a more powerful level with more mana-efficient creatures. So if you're playing, you know, at a high level or a high-powered table, and you have lots of low-cost creatures in your deck, I think this becomes all the more appealing. Yes, Pete, what do you want to tell me?
No, I was gonna say Taisa Orzhov Scion, the one from MKM.
Oh,
as a commander.
Yeah.
As a commander, because like if it's getting killed a lot, and giving it Menace also is tricky with enabling itself. So I thought that was cute. If you're playing stuff like Ishin, there's a lot of small creatures that do double attack triggers, like and then Pakal and stuff. So even recurring something like that in a deck that might need a little bit of speed would be of the essence with this card.
Or Inti. Ooh, I like that too. Inti.
He's one of my favorite cards they printed, to be honest with you.
The card is tremendous. I love the card. So there's lots of really good targets that are, and it's not hard to find good ones. And if you're going to keep your mana curve low, you're going to find lots of good targets for this. So I think it's a really nice inclusion. The price point is really, really not too onerous. And I think the impact on the board is really quite good. Let's go see. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say real quick, the only prefaces with this card is I wouldn't include it in every deck that you play with small creatures if they're not impactful enough to be played. So I know some people like reanimation, but if you're recurring like a Llanowar Elf, it might not necessarily be a more impactful late game. Maybe it is early game if you're like milling yourself or something, like in Sidisi or whatever. But but I think just be careful where you slot this in your curve. That's all I'm trying to preface.
Well, I think that's a good one. And so looking on EDH Rec, it's in over 10,000 decks, which means there's a lot of people that are looking to do make good use of it too. So I think it's a real nice inclusion and something people ought to be looking out for if they're looking to have some sort of recursive package for their deck. Real nice.
Alrighty. So Bruce, we just had a new set drop this weekend for pre-release.
Did we ever? Now, Pete, let's have, I know you went out to the store to play. I was not so fortunate.
Yeah, so I'll tell you my experience, sure.
Yeah, let's have story time with Pete.
All right, so I haven't done a pre-release since, I think LOTR, but I don't count that because I had such a miserable time that I wanted to blot that out of my memory. I love the cards in LOTR, but it was just not my day, and someone unfortunately actually cheated against me because of at the time everyone pushed that set very much because of one of the first very noticeable IPs, so potentially you could make your money back and stuff like that. But this is the experience I had. Completely different. There was the most people in the store I've ever seen in my life at an event there. There was 30 to 30, 40 people there just going for pre-release.
Ooh.
Multiple people, myself included, wore huge cowboy hats. my dad and my mom went a while ago for their anniversary a few years ago to San Antonio, Texas. So they got, but my dad got a big brimmed blue hat. And I was like, can I borrow this for the night? So I wore jeans and a button down flannel, and I had it tucked, and I wore the big brimmed hat, and my buddy and I wore cowboy hats, and we had a few other people wear cowboy hats, and they actually had someone brought in a cowboy hat and offered it as a first place winner's prize beyond.
Ooh,
the
wow, that's pretty fun. Yeah,
and everybody, so luckily most of the locals that come, the regulars, they came, so they're always super relaxed, and it really sets the tone for the night. Even the people I didn't know were super nice. I was very lucky for the most part. People take it seriously, of course, sometimes because they want to win. And, I placed 12th out of 30th, so I knew I wasn't getting anything that night. But I had fun because my sealed pool was cool. I started off in Naya, and then I switched and I pivoted to Mardu, and my Mardu deck was even better than my Naya deck.
Nice.
And I got to play some really cool cards that I wasn't able to really get the chance to play. And I had some neat synergies, so it was fun. I actually was helping a younger player learn a little bit more too, so that was nice. That's what I love too, is not that I know much about Sealed, because I still make a lot of mistakes, but he had just done this for only the first time or second time. So after we got done with our match together, and I was like, hey, can I see your deck real quick? I'm just curious what you were playing, and it's nice to exchange those ideas, So overall, very positive experience. My friend got second place, so that was cool. I was cheering for him, because he told me he just was having a great time.
What was prize pool for a second place finish in a 30-person pre-release?
He got seven or eight packs of cards. He got a pretty big haul.
That's okay. So I've been with pre-releases where there's been
where they split it down. Yeah.
Well, no, I've had a pre-release where we've had let's call it 16 people. And won 7 or 8 packs. So anyway, I'm surprised. I would have thought there'd be more packs on the line for a second place finish. But anyway,
what they did as well was they spun a wheel, and somebody won a pre-release kit for free, pretty much.
So you get some more prizes and other stuff. Okay,
yeah. So they had some collector pins and some other things that were worth a little bit of cash as well. And they do a good job there. You know what I mean? The experience is really. We were there till 11 o'clock. It was kind of crazy. We had five rounds. So everybody got to play a ton of games, which was great.
That's always good. I like that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to do a pre-release at home with my two children, my two boys, who are now starting to get old enough to be able to play. On the weekend, one of the things we had to go do was they wanted to go down into so we were visiting another town because my son was in a karate event. We was doing some seminars on the Saturday and then a tournament on Sunday. But he's like, "Dad, is there a game store in town?" I'm like, "Well, the internet says there is, so let's go have a look." So yeah. Off we went to go have a look, and we got a couple of packs, and the boys were super excited to open up their stuff. My younger son, Alistair, who has been on the show with us, was super excited because he got the Calamity, which is the horse that...
I love that card. That card's so cool.
He was very excited. My older son got an art card for Akul, which he loved and like couldn't stop talking about. He's like, "Dad, tell me more about Akul." And I'm like, "I don't know anything about Akul. What do I want
to
tell you?"
Anyway. I'll give it to him if you like. I think I pulled one.
Well, my son would be very appreciative because he thought the card was cool.
Sure. So if I have it, I'll take a look in the sealed pool or whatever. But
the whole thing sounds like fun, and I think my two boys would really enjoy a pre-release kit and trying to see what that feels like.
This set is so neat because like the balance and colors are pretty good. You know what I mean? Like every game I played was super close. Save for one where someone just stuck the bomb and I didn't have an answer, which happens, right? Or I flooded out in one of the other games. Yeah. But multiple games, it went within a turn. And this is the first time in a while that I've seen where, like, I think they really tried to leverage combat. So that just brings us to Commander, though, because some of these cards are just super cool, and we're super excited to share them with everybody. So
some of these things, I looked at the set, I was like, this is very pushed. Between the combination of the regular set, the Commander product, and then you have the special guests and the breaking news release cards, there's a whole lot of really powerful stuff. And we would spend hours upon hours reviewing them all for the show if we did them all. So I think tonight we're just going to pick some of the highlights that we really were excited for. It seemed to be mostly Commanders. Hopefully we get to build in the near future. So the first one that I really got my brain going was Geared Mirror of the Wilds, which is a red, green, white legendary creature human shaman with haste. And it says, non-token creatures you control have tap, create a token that's a copy of target token you control to enter the battlefield this turn.
So
I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, I was like, let's do it like the Garbage Agree. I think that'd be a great way to spin the wheels here.
Go for it.
So Geared is one of those weird, like, if you're able to flicker things that make tokens and then like untap them, like Samoot, right? There's a Samoot deck I remember that used to run a meal, and it would just flicker and untap everything. So like Samoot with this in a combination with like a token producer that ETBs and makes tokens, like Avenger of Zendikar or something. And if you're able to like make token copies of a creature, like with the Helm of Hosts, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you could do some really weird and really, like, kind of crazy things with this sort of effect.
Yeah. I think this thing is super interesting. And you could, like, and there's some cards that, like, synergize really, really neatly with it. Like, I think they do, like, a Felden on the Third Path with this. Yeah. You, like, put, like, a big honking artifact in your graveyard, make a copy with Felden, and then you could tap another creature to make a copy. I'm just thinking, like the spitballing here, like our friend Mason, who's got that Felden deck. Now you're taking it one step further, and Felden's in the 99, and you're making Mirror Battle Spheres like crazy, and you're just going to massacre the table with Mirror Battle Balls. So I think that is like a sort of an interesting mechanic, a really interesting sort of build that I'm really excited for to fool around with. I think it's going to be a very... I mean, it's still a token deck, so that doesn't feel truly innovative, but the way you're going to create the tokens, to me, seems really neat. Yeah.
You could totally run, like, Flame Shadow Conjuring, right? And then you play you play the 1/4 that untaps all your stuff, Intruder, the 1/4 Village Bellringer.
Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So it's like the Mirror, Flame Shadow Conjuring, Village Bellringer, and maybe you run like an altar, like Phyrexian Altar or something. I'm sure there's a way to figure out how to like break this in half. Maybe like Breath of Fury or some sort of weird token thing, like Kiki Jiki, I don't know, some sort of silliness.
Yeah, I think, and the fact that everything's got haste, like, Gears got haste, you're making tokens, I think there's a lot of really, really neat potential here, just to do something kind of silly, and I think it's going to be very glass cannon-y, but I'm okay with that. I'm pretty okay with some glass cannon shenanigans and getting up to no good in my neighborhood, so...
We love this goofiness. So the next card reminds me of a good friend of mine. He runs a ninja deck, not surprisingly. So it's Satoru. It's a new Satoru, the Infiltrator. So it's blue and black. It's a human ninja rogue. It has menace. Whenever Satoru, the Infiltrator, and or one or more other non-token creatures enter the battlefield under your control, if none of them were cast or no mana was spent to cast them, draw a card.
I kind of like that. So this is rewarding you for plot or for like having things come off suspend or
Call of the Death Dweller.
Yeah, right. So you can spend it on spells. So reanimation spells come into play here. This is cool. I think you're going to do some really neat stuff with it. So, because it cares about non-token creatures entering the battlefield where you haven't spent mana to cast them, you're going to... like, it's a reanimator deck. This is what this becomes pretty quickly. So you can go and find your reanimation targets. I think that I like the idea of a big, beefy reanimator deck with this sort of commander in play. Because you're just going to get a whole lot of really neat value off of it. I like this. This is cool. Is it the ancient one, or what's the one from,
Lost Caverns?
That's good. It has, where it cares about your Descend 8. Like, you want to put that in the graveyard and reanimate it with this.
So I run it, and I'm going to test the card in the deck, because I do have, I'm running, like, Animate Dead and stuff in the deck. So I want to test it as a potential way to like cantrip a little bit. And honestly, if I put it in the yard and I exile it with Scarab God, it's fine because it's a 4/4 with menace now anyway. So it doesn't really matter. There's definitely applicability. And the last point before we move on is Flicker. Like, if you're playing Esper Control and you want to flicker some things, definitely like Teleportation Circle, Anamatu. All of the Esper BS that there is that exists with Flicker will definitely cause Satoru to cantrip you to the moon. So, I think it's a solid sneaky card, and it's going to be very good in Standard. So, we'll see how this plays out in the next few months. What do you have next?
Well, I think this one's broken in half. So, Gisa the Hellraiser, 3-block black, human warlock, 4/4. Ward 2 and pay 2 life, which may as well read like, this is hexproof. Skeletons and zombies you control get +1/+1 and have menace. Did I read that right? Okay. Whenever you commit a crime, create 2 tapped 2/2 blue and black zombie rogue creature tokens. This ability triggers only once each turn.
Oh, Bruce. Oof. You know how easy it is to commit a crime? Because even if you counter it on the stack, it still happens. So it doesn't even matter. Like, say you go to kill some creature. Like, I tried to snakeskin veil a creature in my pre-release, and the dude committed a crime. And I'm like, judge, and he goes, yeah, the spell, even though it fizzles, it still happens. And I'm like, okay, that's busted in half. But, like, this makes bodies every turn. Like, if you're... like, black has all of the ways to target graveyards, right? It has all these simple ways to, like, mess with people's hands, mess with people's stuff, making people sack stuff at instant speed, like soul shatter, like some stuff like that. So, like, you could commit a crime realistically every single turn, make a bunch of 2/2s. Like, you play Grave Pact, you have an altar out, and then you sack a creature. Everybody has to sack a creature.
Yeah. And you're making a near infinite supply of fodder to make sure that your opponents have got nothing on the table.
It's just, this is probably like going to be one of the Chase rare mythics, right? Because it probably is already, but...
Well,
it's in 2 supported creature types already for just the tokens. The creature itself is a human as well, and it's a mercenary, so it fits in all the Rakdos decks, too, that are running Outlaws now. Yeah, it just fits a ton of different roles as a card, right? You just reading that to me was like, okay, what are we supposed to do?
Alright, what do we have next?
So the next card is Loot, the Key to Everything. Ready for this?
I am.
So it is one green, one blue, one red. A Beast Noble. It has Ward 1. At the beginning of your upkeep, exile the top X cards of your library, where X is the number of card types among other non-land permanents you control. You may play those cards this turn.
So, this is rewarding you for playing permanents. So, you have an artifact, a land, no, not a land, artifact, an enchantment, a creature, a planeswalker, what other, a battle, what other permanents are there that I'm missing here? I think that's all of them, right?
I mean, does token count? I'm sure.
No, it's a creature or artifact. It doesn't count as a... So, all right. So let's get this straight. So you have five permanent types.
It counts. It's just non-land permanents in general. So tokens do count as well.
Exile the top X is the type number of card types. No, because token isn't a type.
Oh, it's not. It's a super type, isn't it, or something? It's something else.
Yeah, it's not a type. It's still a creature. It's a creature.
Oh, did you look up the rules text for this card?
Well, I'm looking at it on Scryfall here. Like, I'm just looking at it. So
that's fair.
So anyway, so you have realistically five card types that you could get, and so I'm honestly, audience, I'm a little skeptical of this one because I think like it's kind of neat, but I feel like it's a bit of a trap. So you're going to get, so an enchantment we're likely to have on the battlefield, an artifact we're likely to have on the battlefield, a creature we aren't likely to have on the battlefield. We're not likely to have planeswalkers in Commander very readily because they tend to be kind of stinky PU. We're unlikely to have a battle on the battlefield because they're mostly stinky PU too. Are there any other permanent types that we haven't remembered? Like, I think that's all of them.
I guess in the rules text it says Kindred is the new name of the card type previously known as Tribal.
Yes.
Existing. Okay, so I guess if you had a Tribal card or a Kindred card that said on it Kindred, I guess if it was a permanent that said Kindred on it, but there's not that many. They're all Morwin or Morning Tide.
Yeah. So, tribal Goblin Tarfire or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So you're getting, like, you realistically have three permanents that you're going to be looking at to put, like, to exile cards off the top of your deck. So is exiling three cards off the top of your library and then playing those cards this turn, is the juice worth the squeeze, is what I'm trying to get at.
So I was just looking at, like, different things for this card and thinking about it, and I think in a spell-slinging deck it would be really cool. Right? Like Pro-S, you're playing like multicolor instant sorceries to enable Lila, which is another card that's pretty cool. You're playing cards that care about things that go into exile, which, again, there's not that many, I don't believe. I was trying to look it up, but I think this is just unique to Temur, because usually Temur just had like big dumb creatures or like Cascade, which is to me not necessarily that exciting.
No, I would agree.
But I like this because it's weird. It's like a 1/2 with Ward 1, and it just seems like inconspicuous, and then I'm sure it can find a way to do something to pop off. I just need to figure out what it is first. Again, I was considering like artifacts, like some sort of swords deck where you just put all the swords on it, but I'm still going to put this in the toolbox because I want to build a Temur deck because I've always struggled with it. And imagine like this with all the clones, like all the blue clones. So then you have you're exiling like 10 cards off the top.
So like Sakashima and stuff like that. Ooh, yeah, okay.
I already own a bunch of them, and it's like, it'd be neat to just do something weird with loot, where like I'm ripping spells off the top each turn and playing a ton of things.
I hadn't considered the thought of cloning this, which I think does make it more appealing.
Like the Paradox Haze, which doubles the upkeep, so it would be weird to like use Paradox Haze in that sort of weird sense. So again, this is kind of on the back burner. I'm gonna take some research, gonna take me some time. I'm gonna really think about it before I dive into this. But I have the card. I think it's super cute, and I think it'll be something interesting that people won't see every day. But we'll see. We'll see what people do with it too, right? Because it just came out, so there's still some time.
No, for sure. I mean, lots of time. It's just, I mean, I just identifying as something that like I'd be a little bit leery of this one, but I do see there's appeal there with the cloning and the such. So I can see the appeal.
So the next card I don't like very much, but please read it for us, because it is from the precons.
This is Gaunti, Canny Acquisitor, which is a weird word. 2BB for a 5/5 legendary creature, Aetherborn Rogue. Spells you cast but don't own cost 1 less to cast. Whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, look at the top card of that player's library. Then exile it face down. You may play that card for as long as it remains exiled, and mana of any type can be spent to cast that spell.
Right.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, like, I think this is unoriginal and kind of, like, lame, but that I don't
want to. People are going to hate this. People are going to hate this card.
Well, because, first of all, it only triggers once, right? For one instance. So if you swung with multiple creatures, you only get one trigger. It's not one per creature. It's not one per player being attacked. It's one time. Mm-hmm. One time. Also, it makes a mess over spell table, which I don't appreciate, because I took the time out of my day to play over spell table, right? Again, granted, if you want to play with your friends and mess with your friends' decks, that's fine. Does my play group necessarily think that this is an idea that I would like to see at the table? Probably not, right? Because I don't mind people stealing my stuff, but if they don't have a way to win and they're doing this, it just makes a mess. Like, say you're playing with the same color sleeves. Like, that's a silly example, but it's just very problematic. It's just not a very original card. And, like, the colors, like, they could have done a million things with Sultai, and they decided to do this. And I don't know why they're pushing this so hard when it's not very intuitive for the color combination. Like, give us something weird.
I don't know.
It's known. Like, it's something that they've done for a while with Sultai. Sultai is known for this, right? Villainous Wealth and all these other cards that do some sort of steel effect, like Gaunti and stuff, which I understand that. I accept it, and I don't mind it being played against me per se. But the frustrating thing for me is, like, they could have done something interesting with the Sultai Commander in this sort of cycle with Outlaws. Like, I don't think it to be that original as a concept.
Agreed.
Especially in a social game. One-on-one is different. One-on-one, that's different.
So I agree with you. I think this card, I go through looking at it, I'm like, this is the sort of card your opponents are going to, like, let you play once, and then they're going to be like, we're fed up with you. So, I mean, I like the look of it. I'm like, this looks like it could be fun, but I think the play pattern A is going to be very similar. You're going to play a deck full of inexpensive, unblockable creatures that are just going to slip through. It's going to look and feel like Edric, Spymaster of Trest, but now you've added black. So you've got a little more disruption, perhaps. And then you're just going to, like, destroy your opponent, the top of your opponent's deck, and they're going to not thank you for it. It's a miserable card to play over spell table is absolutely spot on. But I still find something compelling about this type of card. I mean, maybe it's because I want to see if it plays nicely as a secondary way of sort of creating, like, build your own villainous wealth, because I really love Villainous Wealth. That card is silly to cast. This is far more fair and far more equitable to play without absolutely demolishing one player's deck. If you're going to get multiple things off the top of their deck, you're going to have to work for it. Now, this plus, like, a Mind's Dilation and a few other effects that are going to be, like, stripping your opponents of the top of their deck could be entertaining, but it's going to make for a really mana-hungry deck. It could be, like, big mana, Sultai goofiness. So, well,
it just reminds me of, like, Smeagol, that deck, which is not a terrible deck. I don't mind that deck at all. But it's just stealing people's lands. People kind of get salty about that.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't care, because I've had people resolve Worldfire against me and Upheaval, and also Upheaval. So I really don't care. Once that happens, like, it's just, you know, magic is magic, and Time Sifter still is reliving in my head rent-free, but I just feel like this kind of design is unoriginal and just not that compelling.
You're wrong.
But that's just because I'm very, like, I don't take it personally as I used to, but it's like, I took some time and thought to, like, make this deck happen, and now you're just taking all my stuff, which is fine, but you know, just know that I'm coming after you, you know, in the future if you play it against me, you know?
I'm going to be honest with you, Pete. I'm going to go find the five-color dragon deck and go steal stuff off it, so...
You're probably safe. I guess it would be kind of a meme if you did it because they deserved it. I do want to build Blim, which is funny because you're giving people bad stuff, so if they try to steal your stuff, it's all just bad permanents. That's my goal.
So, that's like, your foil.
That's my foil. But anyway, the last thing to end on, like, a cool... honestly, Bruce, before we end, I want to end on a positive note with this card. I think you should try it in your Villainous Wealth deck, at least in the 99, if not as the commander, and see how it performs, because your Villainous Wealth deck, albeit kind of mean, it is very funny. So I think I think you should give it a go. But
I'm certainly going to be looking to pick up a copy and put it in my Sultai colored deck, because it does do kind of what the deck wants to do. So I don't know how reliably I'm going to be able to connect and trigger it, but I'm going to die trying. So
that's how I feel with this deck list that I'm going to feature today. So there's a big score card that was featured. If you don't know what big score is, folks, it's basically like a bonus sheet that you can pull in specific packs. And then in the pre-release that we did, they actually gave it out, one of the three cards they gave out, as a promo. So this card, Transmutation Font, really cracked out one of my decks, and I'm just excited to... I literally refurbished the whole deck. It's going to be on the Mox field. It's also going to be in our show notes. Basically, it's an artifact deck with old Rutstein, and I'm running a few new cards in there. No spoilers and no questions, but basically...
No.
Basically, it's playing like Bull's Citadel. It's kind of a meme of a deck. So check it out. Enjoy it if you can. And please give me any comments. I've been messing with this for a very long time, and these cards kind of put it together for me, finally, to make it work a little bit better than it has in the past. So
let's read Transmutation Font for them, since I think the audience may not be familiar with the cards. And keeping in mind that Pete's old Rutstein deck is looking to make trinkety tokens of all sorts. So Transmutation Font is 5 for a artifact. It says tap, create your choice of blood token, clue token, or food token. And then 3 and tap, sacrifice 3 artifact tokens with different names, search your library for an artifact card, put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle, activate only as a sorcery. So it's got a tutor effect that when you sack your silly tokens, whether it's a treasure or a clue or a food or a blood, you're going to get some pretty good value there to go get something silly out of your deck. So this is exactly what Mr. Rutstein was looking to play.
I mean, he's got a sack of trinkets, right? So that's kind of how it is. And I mean, I like when they... This is just a caveat of like sets in general. I like when they print cards that are weird, that like we haven't seen before. A ton of those big score cards are really interesting face value. So I'm curious to see what people do with them and how they break them in half. So yeah, I just figured I'd feature a deck. We haven't done that in a while. We're probably going to get back into that soon. We like to feature decks that we enjoy playing. So this deck is definitely one people have fun playing against and playing with. I like to have my friends pilot my decks and see if they figure out new lines of play as well. So it's always fun to experiment, but...
Yeah, so some of those big scorecards are pretty neat, and they often appear in the play boosters. So, I ended up opening one this weekend, Old Tech Matter Weaver, which I think looks interesting. So we'll see where I can maybe find a spot for it. It's a 2 and a white for a 2/4. Then it says you can ever cast a creature. You get to either make a gnome or create a copy of target artifact token you control, which seems like it also has some good potential to be kind of silly. So. Yeah. Well, I don't know where to quite put it yet, but it looks like it could be pretty cool.
You have any token decks in white right now? Or any Artifact Matter decks?
Well, I was going to say the Odric deck I just built would care about that.
That'd be cool.
Copying
blood tokens and making blockers and making weenies you could swing with later? Yeah, seems good.
Yeah, that's kind of the idea. So I kind of like the idea of that. Kind of interesting there. We'll have to highlight that deck another day because I think it could be fun to play too. So
yeah, we should. Anyway. We should. I want you to play that against me too. I want to see how you built it because I know you sent me the list a while ago, but it'd be cool to see what what you've done with it, and
yeah, it's definitely a different take on Odric, because most people are looking to play with the keywords, and I have fewer of the keywords and more of the just putting bodies on the board and tokeny goodness, because I wanted to take advantage of things like tokens and artifacts entering the battlefield and pinging my opponents to death. So it was a different sort of different side of build, but we'll have to highlight that another day.
Yeah.
Should we move to saying goodnight to our audience?
Yeah, everybody, take care. Thanks again. Let us know what we need to improve, what you like, and any constructive criticism is always welcome. Any topics you want to see as well, we would love to feature more topics and more things to speak about. And take care. I know it's getting warmer out, so be safe out there, folks.
Indeed. So take care, folks. If you need our social media contacts or where to find our show, it's all in the show notes. And also, once again, a special thank you to Nick Douglas for our wonderful intro and outro music, everybody. Thanks very much. Have yourselves a great one. We'll talk to you all soon. Bye.